Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today, Dr. Chappell is going to explore with us how to keep his name sacred. Exodus 20, verse 7.
And the poll indicated that 75% of the people questioned said that they encounter profanity in public places either occasionally or frequently. Two-thirds said that they think people swear more now than they did 20 years ago. By the way, how many of you would agree with that as well? There seems to be a rise of profanity. Seems like some people can't express themselves without being profane. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, as a Christian man, when I hear the name of God taken in vain, it's like slapping me right in the face. It bothers me. It bothers me to hear my Savior's name taken in vain. Someone says, well, what's in a name? I mean, what's the big deal? Well, I want to remind you today that you're concerned about your name. There's not one of you here today that wants your name misabused or abused or something that you didn't do tacked onto your name or something that doesn't relate to you attributed to your name. All of us are concerned about our name. In fact, in the United States of America, there are laws to protect us against slander so that we might keep our name in the way that we want it. But what about God's name? God is the creator. God is the sustainer of the universe. He is holy. And God says, I want you to remember my name and to keep my name holy. In fact, in verse 7, he says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, someone might say, well, you know, this is in the Old Testament, sounds kind of legalistic and so forth, and they might dismiss this message as trivial. How many of you understand nothing in the Bible is trivial? Hey, these are God's big 10 right here. These are God's 10 commandments. And he says, I don't want you taking my name in vain, and I won't hold you guiltless if you disregard this commandment. Well, let's take a few minutes this morning and learn how we together as believers can keep his name sacred. Just three quick thoughts today. Notice, first of all, the preeminence of God's name. If you would follow in your notes this morning, you'll find the preeminence of God's name. And you're going to learn with me that His name is a holy name. Amen. His name is a holy name. God's titles, names, and descriptions teach us about Him. And they help us to understand how we might relate to Him. Some of you remember how Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven." What's the next word say? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means set apart, sacred, holy. Your name is a holy name. In the Old Testament days, when the scribes would write out the scriptures, whenever they would come to one of the names of God, they would set down their pen and pick up a brand new pen before they even wrote the name of God. And when the scribes came to the name Yahweh, when they came to those four Hebrew letters that made that name Yahweh, they would not only put their pen down, they would go back to their place of residence. They would completely bathe all over again. They would change garments. They would come back to their desk. They would pick up their pen, and then and only then would they write the name Yahweh, because the name of God was hallowed. It was revered in their lives. Woodrow Wilson's father was a Presbyterian minister. One day, Mr. Wilson was out with a friend, and they were walking along the way, and his friend, just without much reason at all, took God's name in vain. His friend, realizing he was with a minister, said, "I am sorry, Reverend, I didn't mean to say that." Reverend Wilson said, "Sir, your apology is not owed to me." Now, a lot of times as a pastor, I'll be out in the community, and someone will just say a terrible word, and they'll go, "Sorry, Reverend, I didn't mean to say that." Now, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, I don't like to be called Reverend. There's only one Holy Father, and He doesn't live in Rome. Right? He lives in heaven. And the second problem with that is they don't owe me the apology if they're taking God's name in vain. They owe Him the apology. I appreciate that they're thinking about the office of the pastor, but sometimes we need to stop worrying just about what men think, and we need to realize there's a God in heaven who has an opinion on this matter. Many of you have studied the works of Sir Christopher Wren, one of the great architects of all time. Christopher Wren was the man who designed and oversaw the construction of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and the place where Princess Di was married, and it was a tremendous, tremendous work of art. And while they were overseeing the construction of that cathedral, Christopher Wren became disgusted with the language of the construction workers. Nothing against construction workers, but I've noticed in all of our building programs that they have a way of explaining themselves sometimes, especially if they hit their finger with a hammer. How many know what I'm talking about? And so Mr. Wren, a godly, God-fearing man, put signs all around the construction site that said, and I quote, "Due to the heinous custom of laborers to take the name of the Lord in vain, each person is placed on notice that it shall be sufficient cause for dismissal if the name of God is heard taken in vain in this place." Now, how many of you say, if they dismiss people for taking God's name in vain where I work, our employment base would go down by 50% next week? But that's how sincere he was in protecting the name of God. Why? His name is a high and holy name. Secondly, His name is highly exalted. Many times we read His name in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And the Hebrew word there is Elohim. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the plurality of the Godhead, and yet the unity of the Godhead in the creation of this world. We read the name El in Genesis 14. We read of God the Most High. We read of the name I Am. We studied that a few weeks ago in Exodus chapter 3, where God said to Moses, "Tell them that the I Am that I am sent you." You see, our God is the self-existent God. He is not a God that's created with the hands of man, but He is the eternal God forever and ever. We read another name, the name Lord, or the word Adonai, which tells us of His power, His omnipotence, and His nearness to us because of His omnipresence. The psalmist spoke of that in Psalm 139 in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and shall thy right hand hold me. You see, the more you study the name of God, the more you see the preeminence of his name. It is high and lifted up, and it must be before all other names, this name of God. And so we see it's a preeminent name. But notice, secondly, the protection of God's name. The protection of God's name. Now, why does God give us this commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Very basic this morning, but sometimes we need to get back to the basics. God gave this commandment because he wanted his name to be a protected name. He wanted it to be a hallowed name. God is a holy and a sovereign God, and his name is worthy of respect. Now, very quickly, let me give you a few areas from which we must protect the name of our God. First of all, we must protect his name from denial. From denial. There are many who deny his name. Some will deny the name of the Lord even this week. You'll hear it. I think of how his name was denied in the New Testament. Mark chapter 3 and verse 32, verse 22 tells us, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Here we see that Jesus had performed a miracle in Mark chapter 3, and the religious leaders of the day said that miracle was accomplished by the power of Satan and not by the power of God. They were denying the power of the name and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, they were committing blasphemy, because blasphemy is the act of vilifying or ridiculing the person and the works of God. And instead of attributing the healing to the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, they were attributing the healing to Satan himself and were blaspheming and were denying the name of God. Matthew 12, 31 says, wherefore I say unto you all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven men. Mark 3, 28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, I don't know about you, but that phrase, hath never forgiveness, that's a very serious phrase in the Bible. And God said there's one thing you'll never be forgiven of. Some people call it the unpardonable sin. That is when you say no to Jesus, no to Jesus, no to Jesus, no to his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's drawing you to Christ, you say no. Someone gives you a gospel tract and it has Christ's name, you say no. Someone tries to tell you about Christ, you turn away from it. And God calls this blaspheming, or God calls this turning away from his Holy Spirit. And he says there is no forgiveness from the person who continually blasphemes the Holy Spirit. It is an unpardonable sin. Once you have turned away from God's Holy Spirit, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And if you said no to God's word and to God's name throughout your course of your lifetime, there is no more mercy left. And so we must protect the name of God from those who would deny it and from those who would even attribute his great and wonderful works to other things. I would say to you this morning, when the Bible so clearly says that God created the heavens and the earth, for someone to give credence to Darwin's theory, for someone to say that all of this is by accident, is to deny the name of our God who created the world in which we live. Notice, though, we must protect not only from the denial of his name, but secondly, from the deceptions about his name. Now, this is very important this morning, because there are many today who use the name of the Lord to their advantage. They do not necessarily believe in the name of the Lord, but they will invoke the name of the Lord in a very deceiving way. These are people who would say at one time, all religions are the same, but when they're wanting a vote, they're going to talk like they are a Christian or how much the Lord means to them. Or sometimes to get a little bit of attention for their cause, they will deceitfully use the name of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says it, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, sometimes I'll witness to people, and they have attended one too many comparative religion class over at the Antelope Valley College. And they're bent on defending Muslims. And again, thank God for the freedom we have in America, but this is one nation under God, and they knew which God they were talking about when they wrote that. You read your money. It's not one nation under the gods. And sometimes you'll witness to someone who's had a little class like that and has become an instant overnight expert, and they'll say, well, you Christians are just as bad. Why? Look at the Crusades. Look what you did in the Crusades. I just want to set the record straight on that. The Crusades, which began in the 1100s, were officially begun by El Papa, the Pope. The Crusades were the Catholic Church going into the Holy Land, claiming Jerusalem, killing the Muslims, in the name of the Roman Catholic Church. My heritage, my Christian heritage, and many of yours as Bible-believing Christians and Baptists, does not trace our roots back to the Crusades or to the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, if you would study in your encyclopedia, you would find groups of people such as the Waldensians and the Albigenses, and you would find in your encyclopedia things called the Waldensian Crusades, the Albigense Crusades. You know what those were? Those were the Crusades where the Catholic Church killed people called Waldensians because they believed in believers' baptism. They believed that someone should get baptized after they got saved. In other words, the same church that was killing Muslims were killing the forefathers of our Baptist faith. And for someone to try to say that we were a part of the Crusades is historically inaccurate, and it is a misuse of what Christianity is really all about. See? So we must protect the name of God from denial and from the deceptive use of educators and those who would misuse the name of God for their own purposes. Notice, thirdly, we must protect the name of God from distortion. You know, there are a lot of people who are religious and sometimes even in a Christian tradition, but they misuse the name of God. They distort the name of God. Let me tell you what. Be careful about people who come up to you and say, God told me to tell you this. Is that right? Look, if you're going to tell me what God told you to tell me, try to have a chapter and a verse, okay? Because we believe that this is where God reveals Himself, right here in the Word of God. We must not claim to have some connection that someone else cannot or does not have. Look at your notes there in Matthew 7:21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, those that are using the name of the Lord for their own selfish advantage, in some case, they never even knew the name of Jesus. They never knew Him personally. They were just using His name. There are those who deny the name of the Lord. There are those who are using His name deceptively. There are those who are distorting His name. And fourthly, we must protect the name of the Lord from desecration. From desecration. Now, look at verse 7 if you have Exodus 20 there, and look at again what it says. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in, and what's that next word say? Vain. The word vain is the Hebrew word shav. It simply means in the sense of desolating or emptiness of speech or falsehood. In other words, God says, I don't want you desecrating my name. I don't want you putting my name in a false context. Now, how do people desecrate the name of God? Very simply, God's name is desecrated, first of all, when His name is used to swear. I think we need to be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, how we use the name of God, that we do not take it in vain. We need to teach our children they're not to take the name of God or Jesus or a derivative thereof and just loosely throw it around the house. Christian people ought to protect the name of God. I heard about a little girl in the third grade. She came home from school. She said, Daddy, she said today in school we learned how to curse. Her dad put his fork down, lowered his glasses. He said, what in the world are you talking about? She said, you know, Dad, making those curvy letters. Now, there is a difference between cursing and cursive, all right? But I do know some people who seem to have trouble communicating without cursing. It's like they're really kind of macho, they think, when they say a foul word. They're a big man. And I don't mean to be mean this morning. If you have to every other sentence do that, you are not a big man. You are a big jerk. You've ever thought about this? Why don't people say, "Oh, Hitler"? You know why? Because Satan is attacking not the name of Hitler, but the name of God. Now, we know the only way to clean up someone's mouth is to get the heart clean, right? Look at what it says in Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Okay, so you take a fella and you get him at home at night and he's got 5 hours of HBO and 5 hours of ABC and he goes down to the honky-tonk bar and gutter mouth talk all night there and he's just filling up his heart with that kind of stuff, and when he starts talking, it just cannot help but come out. But you bring that old boy and let him meet Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ washes his sins away, and he starts reading the Bible and he turns away from the filthiness and he starts to listen to the preaching, all of the sudden his vocabulary changes. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come into his heart. You see, Will Rogers, the great theologian that he was, Will Rogers said long ago, when men cursed and beat sticks to the ground, it was called witchcraft. But today it is called golf. Seems like once in a while if I go out golfing and I get paired up with a couple fellas, might be me and a Christian man, a couple fellas, and they'll hit a nice one, and boy, they just kind of strut back to their golf cart, you know. And then they hit that errant shot, and man, the foul words come. You know, it just, whenever we get angry in this society, just taking God's name in vain. A lot of times, if they're a real good golfer, I wait till about the fourth or fifth hole to begin soul winning. I mean, if they're just beating the socks off me, I say to them, "By the way, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I was just wondering if you knew Jesus or if you knew for sure you're on the way to heaven." It ruins their game every single time. Usually slows the cursing up too. But when we use his name to swear, we're taking his name in vain. By the way, when we use his name for an excuse, we're taking his name in vain. I can't tell you how many people say things, man. "Well, God told me to skip church, and God told me to buy this, and God told us to move there." And sometimes I scratch my head and say, boy, why do we give God credit for so many things? You know, we better be careful about just using God's name for whatever cause we want to do. Saying, "Well, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that." Matthew 12:34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You see, God is holy and deserving of our respect and deserving of our honor.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves, which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.